Market professionals look at the post-Brexit world and realize that stocks don't look so bad after all. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. After a foul Friday and a melancholy Monday, markets on this Tuesday are, I guess you could say, tasty. The Dow in early trading was up 1.2%, more than 200 points. S&P 500 up by a similar percentage. NASDAQ up by even more. On Tuesdays, we like to consult Julie Neiman, the analyst from the Heartland at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Care to explain, please?
Global markets lost $3 trillion in 2 days. In the vernacular, this is known as oversold conditions. In other words, panic. There's a huge amount of cash on the sidelines here that's got to go somewhere. The bond market is, to put it mildly, unattractive because we're into a new permanent basis here. Well, maybe not permanent. The interest rates and the Fed staying close to zero interest rates for a prolonged period of time. So if you can't sink it into the bond market, where are you going? You're going into the stock market. And there's a realization that Brexit is not sinking the United States. So you're going to refocus on the industries where there's going to be less impact. And that's all the stuff that you revert to when things are slowing down. The utilities, the food stocks, the consumer staples, the very large capitalization stocks. There you saw some sell-off as we were anticipating that we'd have more robust growth. Well, that's off the table now. So it's back to the defensive stocks, and that's where the money is moving.
At least for today, right?
Tomorrow could be another situation.
Analyst Julie Neiman in St. Louis. The government today also slightly revised upward its calculation of economic growth for January through March. The GDP annual rate is up to 1.1% from 0.8. British American cruise ship operator Carnival today will discuss its performance looking forward after profits today were up year on year. It's one of the first big global companies to report to investors since last week's Brexit vote. Carnival has two main addresses, both Miami, Florida and Southampton, England. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Like any luxury industry, the cruise business relies on people having extra cash and spending it.
The greater the uncertainty, the lower the willingness to spend.
Morningstar analyst Jamie Katz says about 25% of cruise passengers overall come from continental Europe, about 8% from the UK. So a good chunk of Carnival's business could be affected by that uncertainty. But Katz says the industry is flexible. If demand looks weak in Europe,
maybe they say, forget it, we're going to take 2 less ships to Europe at the end of next summer, and we're going to move them to the Caribbean, where demand seems to be stable.
Analysts expect Brexit to come up in lots of earnings forecasts and investor calls in the coming quarters. Scott Wren is an equity strategist at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute.
Not that these companies are going to have a solid handle on what it necessarily means for their business, but they will definitely be throwing the caution flag out there.
And some, he predicts, will use Brexit as a scapegoat for poor performance. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Today, Volkswagen is reportedly announcing a nearly $15 billion settlement with mainly U.S. diesel car owners in the emissions cheating scandal. Owners can either fix or sell back their cars at pre-scandal prices and get between $5,100 and $10,000 for their trouble. VW stock was up more than 4% early today in Frankfurt. So Brexit happened, one of the biggest financial shocks since Lehman Brothers going bust, and even before the UK voted out, unleashing a global wave of economic uncertainty, Americans were feeling anxious about their personal financial situations. That's what the latest Marketplace Edison Research survey shows. Our anxiety level has been ratcheting up since we began measuring it in September of last year and climbed to its highest point yet in May. Here to walk us through our latest data is Larry Rosen, president of Edison Research. Larry, good to have you.
Happy to be here.
So let's start with the level of economic anxiety that Americans have that you've been finding through some of this research. It's ticked up in the last reading, even while approval of President Obama's handling of the economy has also gone up. Any theories? It's almost a paradox.
It is a paradox, and it's quite interesting. So this is the third time we've done the poll, and the level of anxiety that people in the U.S. population are telling us they're feeling about their personal economy has risen with each successive poll. And the best theory that we have is that the impending presidential election is stirring up anxiety and uncertainty that even as people are happier with President Obama, they are more personally anxious about where they stand.
Or maybe they just blame something else. They don't blame the administration in power. I know that's rare, but it could be that they're blaming world trade or something.
Well, they blame a lot of things, and that's one of the things that comes out in our survey. We talked at length in our survey with our respondents about this notion of the economy being rigged.
Rigged against hardworking Americans, that sort of notion.
Rigged against pretty much everybody. I mean, an overwhelming majority of Americans agree with the idea that the economy is rigged in favor of a small number of people. And that cuts across every layer of society, people of all income levels. Republicans were actually more likely to say the economy is rigged than Democrats. African Americans, by far, are the group that is most likely to say the system is rigged as compared to whites or Hispanics. Interestingly, Hispanics were the least likely of the three large ethnic groups.
How does this play into something we've been tracking in this poll, this notion of perceived inequality in America?
There is a broad perception of inequality, of the feeling that a small group of people is getting wealthier and wealthier at the expense of a large group of people who are suffering. And I think that there is an effect that starts to take hold and wear people down. And I think we're seeing some of that in our poll. I think the Brexit vote that we saw seems to be a similar kind of aspect over in the UK. It's been predicted for a long time that inequality might start to take on this power and this effect, and that might be what we're seeing here.
We're going to spend more time this week exploring our latest poll and exploring other areas of economic anxiety for Americans that the data show. Larry Rosen, president of Edison Research, thank you so much for the briefing.
Happy to do it.
You can explore our economic anxiety series at marketplace.org. One thing we discovered besides we think it's all rigged, more Americans are losing sleep over their financial situation. And there's a quiz if you have the impulse to compare your level of nerves about money with everyone else's. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.